My name's David McNeil. I pastor New Hope Baptist Church and been coming a long time to this. Brother Harold lives here. I'm here. We're good buddies, dear friends. And just can't tell you how prayer advances changed my life, and I know it has yours. Hasn't it been a great weekend? It's just, this has been really tremendous, wonderful. And did anybody didn't get a copy? Holler real loud if you need one. We'll make it happen, okay? And we appreciate you coming, and the Lord has impressed on me. Brother Brian last night talking about that miracle from God, talking about prayer. Our last session, Revitalized, everything was about prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. And the Lord isn't it wonderful and amazing how God is God? He's just amazing. Amen. And what he's doing, putting it together for me, is here I get the last session of it, and we get to go prayer and fasting. And so I believe the Lord has laid some groundwork to really, really help us. Now, I want to let you know, first of all, that I'm not fasting today, amen, and I'm talking about fasting, and so I'm, that leads me up to my one and only joke that I have. This drunkard came up to a preacher, Baptist preacher, and he looked at his belly, and the drunkard said to that Baptist preacher, he said, "You're a drunkard," and that Baptist preacher bowed up and said, "I have you know," he said, "I have you know I'm a Baptist preacher." And that drunkard looked at his belly. He said, "Well, that ain't nothing but a chicken coop then, ain't it?" We know we Baptists are like that fried chicken, don't we? Amen? Amen. I've got them right here. Got plenty of them. Praise God. Y'all come. I'm going to lay them right here if anybody rolls in here. And so we're just going to talk about it. I'm not fasting today, and we're just going to get into something that I hope will be something wonderful to you. And I'm going to watch my time, because I really want to be in my time limit. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, our hearts are overflowing with what we've already felt last few days, and we just thank you, Lord. We just give you glory, and I pray you bless these men, and Lord, touch us today together, and may we just, Lord, by things that you have taught us and learned us, passing on, and we're just trying to be a help. And so, Lord, teach me as well, and give us something that we'll, by the word, we'll give you glory. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, I'm going to get started here real quickly. How many of you have fasted before and you've tried to do this? Raise your hand. All right? All right. How many of you have not done this and you really want to learn, get a hold of something that really will be a blessing to you? I want it to be a blessing to you. And you've never done it. Okay. Well, that's good stuff. Now, let me give you a few little pointers, okay? Just a little tidbits of just nuggets to start off with. Let's see here. Well, let me just go ahead and talk about the book. Everybody's talking about books. They got a book down there on the table that I'm gonna mention some of his points in here, and you need to get it. I think it's $10. And it's God's Chosen Fast, okay? Arthur Wallace. He goes through the ins and outs of it. He details it a whole lot. He tells you how to get in a fast, tells you what to do. He tells you how to get out of a fast. He tells you biblically the different kinds of fast. I'm just going to mention them today. Get the book, all right? And there's some wonderful practical things that will really, really help you. They got it down there on the table. I would advise it, use it, and it'll be a blessing to you. Now, Brian, last night, opened up the can of worms about this thing calling upon the Lord and fasting. And you heard him mention a 21-day fast. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a little tidbit here. If you have never done this, I would not advise that. Don't try to be like Moses and say, "I'm going to get real spiritual and go on a 40-day when you will burn out before you even get started. How many of you believe you need to crawl before you walk? Amen. And so we've got to learn, and so I would advise not to jump into something. There's 3 days, there's 5 days, there's 1 day, there's 21 days like he used last night, 40 days, 7 days, I didn't mention that one. And so there's a lot of them in the Bible that God teaches us there. And so let's maybe, if you're learning there, start out small, even like a Daniel diet. And I'll show you that in just a little bit. And it'll be a blessing to you. I want to say this first of all. Jesus preached it. Jesus practiced it. Jesus published it. I want to say very plainly, it's in the Word of God. Why aren't we talking more about it? Amen. And so let's get into this a little bit. And I want to give you a few things here. You got your outline. I'm going to first of all give you what man said. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 58. Let's go to Isaiah 58. And there's a little correspondence as well, along with Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to stay in Isaiah 58 a little bit. And so let's get a hold of what men have said. Why are you in Isaiah 58? Matthew Henry said it this way, these men of God. He said he considered it to be every Christian's duty. Matthew Henry, he listed four reasons why it's important. He says it secures God's power to assist us. Number two, it sharpens prayer. We've been talking about it all since we've been here. Fasting demonstrates humiliation before God. Fasting, it controls the body. That's pretty good. John Wesley said, fasting is only a way which God hath ordained wherein we wait for his unmerited mercy. For ladies, and there was ladies in the Bible that fasted as well, Elizabeth Elliot said it this way, fasting increases our sense of humility and our dependence on the Lord. Fasting allows us to give more attention to prayer. Fasting is a continual reminder that just as we sacrifice some personal comfort to the Lord by not eating, so we must continually sacrifice all of ourselves to Him. That's pretty good. John Calvin said fasting is, in the biblical sense, is choosing not to partake in food because your spiritual hunger is so deep. Your determination in intercession is so intense, and your spiritual warfare so demanding that you have temporarily set aside the fleshly needs to give yourself to prayer and meditation. I like that. Andrew Murray, everybody's heard, man, got your book. Prayer, he said, prayer on the one hand, prayer is the one hand with which we grasp the invisible. Fasting is the other hand, the one with which we let go of the visible. And so these men of God had something, knew something, and practiced a prayer. And so that's what men said. Let me ask you this. What did God say about it? Let's look at it. Amen. Isaiah 58. You got it? And you're in your notes there. You see that? And so follow along real quickly. I'm going to just go real fast and we'll get into something here today. Verse number 3. Let's start with verse number 3. Jesus is rebuking this crowd. And he did the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. He said, wherefore have we fasted, say they. Y'all see that? And thou seest not. He says, wherefore have we afflicted our souls? And thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, you do what? You find pleasure. He said, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. And so point number one, he's rebuking them because he said they're going after pleasure. So number one on your notes there, what fasting is not. It's not pleasure. Somebody help me there. Amen. It's not pleasure. And so because he says in verse 4, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and ye smite at the fist of wickedness. And ye shall not fast, verse 4, as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. He rebuked the disciples over in Matthew chapter 6 not to be seen. They, you know, the Pharisees and outward appearance. And he said, you don't know. And so number 2 there, it's not pride. God hates pride. Amen?
Yes,
he told them in Matthew 6, he said, when you enter into the closet, the Father that seeth in the secret shall reward thee openly. Amen? It's pride. Number 3 there, Matthew 16, it's not pleasure, it's not pride, but it's private. Private. See that? It's you and God. I've been talking this week, and Brother Ron Lynch, one of my heroes, he's here. And boy, he and I have been wrapping around this and talking about this, and we're going to get into it right here. And he was talking about it's you and God. I believe it's the Holy Spirit initiating something in your heart by which it presses a burden where you would empty yourself to get to God. Are y'all with me? Yes. Boy, he's been helping me this week. And so what is it? Well, we're verse number 6 and 7. The Lord says, is not this the fast? Here's where we get our book that we read. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Well, amen. What is that? To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Boy, these are wonderful, marvelous things. The reason why. Amen. He said this to fast. He said, is it not to deal, verse 7, thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, and thou coverest him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And so there's so many things here, and I'm going to get into it right here in the notes here, of the reason why we're fasting here. These people, I mean, who doesn't have... we live in a day of a band of wickedness. And they need to be loosed. Amen? Well, there's heavy burdens. What church did not have heavy burdens? Your church and mine. Oh, my Lord. And let the oppressed. There's so many oppressed that needs to be set free. And that you break every yoke. Some people are, even Christians, are bound down in bondage yoke. They got things to carry. Amen? And God said, this is a fast that I've chosen. Amen? And so, let's get into it. I'm going to get down more into that when we get down in our notes down here. Four kinds of fast mentioned in the Bible. I'm just going pretty good here. Matthew chapter 4, this is Jesus and his fast. Number one, we call it, and it's in this book, the normal fast. Normal fast is what we call it. Number one there. See it? The normal fast is what he's teaching, is abstaining from food and not water. Bible says Jesus, when he came out after the 40-day fast, the Bible says he was a hunger. Didn't say anything about being thirsty. Amen. The devil didn't tempt him with water, tempting him with bread. Y'all with me? Yeah. And so the normal fast is just simply abstaining from food and not water. How about number two, the Acts 9 and 9, and you could put the book of Esther in here, and you could put Jonah in here. I didn't list all of them here. The absolute fast, number two. The absolute fast. That's no food and no water. And when you see that, it's always connected with 3 days. Okay? The Lord knew something about your body. Amen? After 3 days, with no food and water, things begin to shut down. It can happen unless it's supernatural, which we're going to get into here in just a minute. But number three is the partial fast. That's Daniel. Partial fast. So you got the normal fast, the absolute fast, number three, the partial fast. That's a restricted diet. Daniel purposed in his heart, we heard so graciously there by Brother Dave the other day, that he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat and the king's wine. Okay? And so that was his purpose in it, but what did he do? He ate pulse. What's that? That's a vegetable diet there. Okay? And so, as you know, when he preached it there, he came out as he proved God there. He came out 10 times better. Amen? And so there is such things as the partial fast. And that might be where you want to start learning and start beginning if you do that. A partial fast. We'll talk about that. And then number four is what is the supernatural. Supernatural. How in the world can Moses be on the mountain 40 days and then turn right around and turn into another 40 days, no food and no water? That's God fast. That's a God ordained supernatural. Say amen. Amen. That's only God. By the way, he's handling the word of God. God was putting it on the stone. Amen. I believe that's why God ordained that, because it's very, very holy. Amen. So anyway, you got these four kinds of fast. Get the book. It's all in there. That'll help you. Okay. Now, let's get on to this real quickly, because I need some time with this right here. We're going to talk about it. And practical procedures for fasting. Okay? practical procedures. When I call, I'm going to give you something. As the rest of this is nothing more than a testimony of what God taught me over 30 years ago. This is 1990 and 91. And I want to say that anything I say from here is all for the glory of God. Amen. And I'm going to give you something God really showed me about just what the Lord has taught me. And I believe the Bible gives you, and you'll see it play out. And I want to open up by saying this. Let me get the testimony. We'll start getting the notes here real good here. I grew up in a Baptist preacher's home. My daddy pastored and preached for 50 years, okay? And I lived in the preacher's home. And so when I was about 7, 8, 9 years of age, my daddy won my little league baseball coach to the Lord, okay? He got saved, and he went off to Bible college and got his master's and went and got several doctorate degrees. And then I grew up, and then in about 1991, I was coming out of my last year of Bible college myself in Florida. I was right there in Jacksonville where Brother Brian preached last night, right downtown there where his church is. And so I was finishing up Bible college. My dad pastored over in Stark, Florida. That's where we were, about 40 minutes down the road. But anyway, we started my little league baseball coach called me, knowing it was my last year and I was fixing to graduate. He said, "Dave, I want you to preach your first revival you ever preach for me." I thought, man, that's a great honor. He said, "I want you to preach Sunday morning to Friday night." Sunday morning, and I started adding that up. He wants me to preach 7 times. Now, I was a Bible college student. I grew up in church, but I had a lot of Bible college notes. But man, the more I got to thinking about that, I don't have 7 messages. And that thing got all over me. I mean, I was a mess. And the more I thought about it, the depressor I got. I said, "What am I going to do?" And so this was about, we did it scheduled in the break time. I think it had to be hunting season because of what I'm fixing to tell you. And where's my hunter? There's my hunting buddy right there. And this is Florida now, and we hunt in Florida, amen. They hunt different. They run dogs and all that kind of down there. But I'm a hunter. I'm an outdoor man. I'm a fisherman. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. But it was hunt season, and I had this revival pinned down. This is Florida. He was pastoring in Andrew, North Carolina, right outside of, the mountains there, Asheville, back that way somewhere. And so, man, I started praying about that thing. And so, number one, I want you to get it now. Number one, the first thing we need to understand about fasting is, number one, you got to have a purpose. There's got to be a purpose. Okay? What was my purpose? My purpose was revival. I got the responsibility of preaching a revival 7 nights. And so that thing got on me. And I gave you several illustrations there. You got to have a purpose. And boy, I mean, look at the purpose here of Ezra. Y'all remember Ezra? He needed protection. He got permission from the king to travel and take all the goods back to Israel there instead of having to ask the king for protection there. He just told him that God was good to him and God took care of me, and he didn't want to ask the king. And so he proclaimed a fast. And look what he said. It's to seek him a right way for us. He was asking protection. You see the purpose? Fasting's got to have a purpose. Amen. And so we see protection. 2 Chronicles 23, Jehoshaphat, the enemies were coming and by the scores, and several of them were coming against Jehoshaphat in 220 verse 3. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He set himself to seek the word. That printing's not right there. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. Y'all see that? So he had a purpose because the enemies were coming in, And they were mighty and bigger, and they were really outnumbered them 2-1, if you study it out there. And so he set himself. In other words, he positioned himself. That was his purpose, his fast. How about the plan of Esther? Esther, everybody know about Esther. Haman the wicked one. They made a decree to kill all the Jews. And they were going to annihilate. He was a Hitler of the Bible. He was going to annihilate all the Jews. And boy, they signed it. And what we going to do? And Esther had a plan there. She sent word back to Mordecai. I ain't got time to preach all of it. You know it. And she had a plan. In Esther 4, chapter 4, verse 16, it says here, "So will I go unto the king which is not according to the law." If she went into the king and the king didn't raise his scepter, she was done. And so they had a plan. They had to get a plan. And that plan was to fast and pray 3 days, 3 nights with no food and no water. Amen? And so you see where I'm going with this? If you're going to fast and pray. By the way, let me say this. All intertwined through the Bible, Jesus taught on praying and fasting. Are y'all with me? Somebody, one writer said one day, praying and fasting is like riding a bicycle without wheels. You might have a pretty bicycle, but if you don't have tires and wheels, you ain't going anywhere. And I believe in prayer, but Jesus intertwined it even in Matthew 6 when he talked about praying. He talked about giving. He talked about praying. Then he said a little word there, moreover. In other words, and let me further say something, when you fast. Amen? And so what God is simply saying to us here is we've got to, he put prayer and fasting. If fasting without prayer is simply going without food. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Fasting without prayer is just simply going without food. You might look good, you ain't going anywhere. Right? And so there's a plan, there's a position, there's protection. Jonah, what did Jonah do? They asked him for pity. Cry mightily unto God. Amen? Because God's going to destroy this place. And so we see here there's got to be a purpose. And so here I am. Y'all got to see it. I was hunting, brother. You're a hunter. How many of you hunters? The rest of you dismissed. So I had about 15 acres and connected to about 500 acres. And I had this monster magnolia tree. It was the green camo green. And so I built me a treehouse up in that thing. And there I was hunting out there. And boy, I'd taken my gun out there. And I got to going every day. Had about a week there, 1 week. And about 2 weeks of hunting. But I got 1 week to hunt there. And so I was getting up in that deer stand. And here I was. I had a purpose. I got to go to North Carolina and preach a revival. And Lord wants me to preach. And so my purpose was, Lord, what am I going to do? Help me, please. Help me. You get my purpose? And every day I went up in that tree stand there and I got to going and that was my purpose. And so we see that. And then number two, I'm going to go because we're going to go somewhere and I'll get done here quickly there. Number two, there's got to be the practical. Are y'all getting this? Y'all got to have a purpose. Got to have something. You got to be doing it for some reason. And I believe it's Holy Ghost initiated. I believe the burden. He said it last night. He wanted some to adopt some children there. That became a heavy, that was his purpose. Heavy burden. And that burden became a fast and became fasting and praying. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
And it consumed him. That purpose. Amen. Let's go on here. We'll get to some other thing. Number two, pursuit. Pursuit. You get a purpose. Number two, you need to start pursuing it. Amen. Psalm 69:10, I chasten my soul with fasting, David said. How do you pursue the Lord when God initiates something in your soul? Well, number one, I believe it's a humble soul. You're going to have to get humble. Amen? You get words in the Bible, consecration. God uses a word, mourning. Here's a word, affliction. That's what we just read in Isaiah here. Brokenness, self-denial. I like the word self-judgment. That's brother Ron says it yesterday. He was in his class yesterday, and I've heard it 3 or 4 times now. You need to arrive DOA. Dead on arrival. You need to die. You need to get sick of yourself and go out there and crucify you afresh again. Amen? Humble soul. If you're pursuing Him with a purpose, it takes a humble soul. Number two, it takes helpless. That's two S's there. I didn't get it right. Helpless seeking. Helpless. And that's 2 Chronicles. I took several passages of different ones in the Bible fasting here. And I love the prayer of Jehoshaphat there in 2 Chronicles 22. He said, "For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. But get this, but our eyes are upon thee."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In other words, he's pursuing. He done set everything in order. He done called a fast. He said, "Lord, we have no might against this crowd. We're helpless. We're helpless. We're helpless. But our eyes are on you." That's where you need to come in there. Amen. Helpless seeking. How about number three, honoring the Savior? I believe that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let me just tell you plainly. If you're fasting and praying, it's because God's something, putting something in your soul, and you're pursuing Him with a purpose. Are y'all with me? Then I'm just going to say it plainly. Get to Jesus as fast as you can. Go get Jesus. Go get, seek His face. Boy, I tell you, I was in the hunting stand there. Y'all can see me in the stand. I'd go down there every day. And every day I went down there, the more this thing, that purpose I had to preach this revival, the more I pursued the Lord, and the more I buried David every day out there in the woods. Are y'all with me? The heavier this thing got to me. The heavier it got. Number three, let's go on. Number three, practical procedure for fasting, purpose. Y'all say that to me. What's number one?
Purpose.
What's number two?
Pursuit.
Number three, presence. I wrote the word believe. How many times have we heard this in the last two sessions? Last night's preaching, he nailed it. Believe. Amen. Brother Stoney hit it this morning. I mean hit it. Believe. Amen. He's believing and praying. I'm talking about, you ain't going to believe what the Bible. It's just amazing how the Bible says. We're believing in fasting and praying. Our subject's fasting. And you wouldn't believe God. Matthew 17. Get it. Matthew 17, verse 19. These are the disciples. Came with the father. Y'all remember the father that had the son that was a lunatic. The Bible says full of demons and devil. And jumped in the fire and jumped in the rivers and the water. And afterwards the disciples pulled Jesus aside. You know the story there. Why couldn't we fast? Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said it. Next page there. Verse 20 said, because of what? Because of your unbelief. Told the disciples that. Matthew, he just rebuked the whole crowd when Jesus came on the scene. They come rushing up to him. The father came to him and told him. And Jesus told the whole crowd, "Oh, faithless generation." He said, "Ain't none of you around here believe." Yeah. And then the disciples, they came to him. Matthew doesn't talk about the discourse with the Father. Mark talks about it a little bit better. But Mark says, you got it right there. And the Father, he comes to Jesus there. And Jesus asked a question to him there. He said, when should this come on to him? And the father said, since he's been a child. And he explained to him, he's jumping in the fire and he's jumping in the river. And Jesus said to him, all things are possible to them that believe. Now get the father. Here you got a son. And you got a purpose. You need your son healed. And that father said to Jesus here, verse number 23, He said, Lord, verse 24, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. We've heard a lot about believing. I just want to show you this. Jesus, get this. Here's what's amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. He rebukes them for unbelief. He tells the Father, you need to believe. And the Father says, help my unbelief. The disciples came to him after that. Why couldn't we do it? He said, because of your unbelief. He told the whole crowd, they're unbelievers. And then he makes the statement at the end of Matthew and the end of Mark. And he says this. Listen to him. He says, this kind cometh forth by nothing, but by prayer
and fasting.
Wait a minute. The whole time he spoke to them about unbelief. Are y'all with me? The whole time he's trying to get that crowd to believe. And then he tells them that this can only come forth but by prayer and fasting. What kind? What is this kind? This kind don't come demons and of hell that's got him in bondage. Are you with me? But what strikes me, and I'm not the sharpest cookie in the jar or anything like that, but Jesus is saying, believe, believe, believe. If you're going to come to me in fasting and praying, you've got to have believing with fasting and praying.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, God help us. I wrote down there, look at that. He comes to get you fast. Give it to him. What you been doing? You came to him with a purpose. That's prayer. You came to him pursuing him. Amen? Aren't you pursuing him in prayer and fasting? Well, don't be surprised that when you pursue him, he shows up.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You ain't going to believe what I'm going to tell you. You ain't going to believe it. What kind of nut goes to a deer stand hunting and don't take his gun? I got a purpose. I got a purpose. I got a preacher of the Bible. I started pursuing him. Got real heavy. All of a sudden, I wouldn't care about shooting anything. Here's what the Father's telling me in believing. The Father says in tears, Lord, I believe. He's talking about his son. And what the Father says, I believe the Father has the son in his hands. But when he told Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, he gave his son to Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know what happened when Jesus got it?
Yeah.
That crowd rushed up on him. He turned and rebuked that foul and dumb spirit and said, come out of him, and he was healed immediately.
Amen.
Why? Somebody believed. Jesus had, I believe tonight, today, if we'll just give him our fast and believe God. Boy, I got to looking at that. How about number four? I got to go. Number four is power. Number four is power. So let's go over them real quickly. That's number one, purpose. Say it.
Purpose.
What's number two?
Pursuit.
What's number three?
Presence.
What's number four?
Power.
Holy Spirit power. Gotta have it. Amen. I wrote Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's dunamis. That's explosive power. Dynamite. Amen. How many of you believe you ever light dynamite? It has explosive effects. Never done that, but I have messed with firecrackers quite a bit. And I've paid the results. You know what I'm talking about. But guess what? We see here that you got to have power, explosive power. Let's discuss this because we've been in Acts several times. And boy, the sessions have been wonderful. About revival and what has happened in continuing revival. It was a great session yesterday, one today, this morning. And it was great. We've been in the book of Acts and revitalizing church. But let me say this. Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That's dunamis, that's dynamite, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now wait a minute here. Boy, I mean all the world, Jesus, Mary, y'all know that passage of scripture. Great passage. And so what happened? On the day of Pentecost, that Greek Pente means 50. Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 to go and do what? Pray and wait for the promise. Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights on this earth. These disciples that were praying in Acts chapter 1 had already experienced the explosive power of the cross of Calvary. They've already experienced the explosive power of a living, resurrected Savior. Amen? Are y'all with me? And Jesus tells him to wait for the promise of his coming. And in Acts chapter 2, it exploded. It came. Are y'all with me? They had a Calvary explosion. And y'all see the things here. And what I wrote, it simply says in Acts 1 to me, I can't. Because why? We're incapable, we're incompetent, and it is impossible to do anything without the power of God. You're going nowhere until you let Jesus strike a match to it.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And he does that in the power and moving in the influence and impression of the Holy Ghost. I can't. Amen. But he can. And there was explosive. Acts chapter 1, I ain't going to tell you, you know it. There was explosive preaching. You know what happened? Peter stood up. What did he do? What did he preach, by the way? He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen. Preached the gospel. He told them, "You bunch of wicked sinners, y'all did this." He laid them out, cut them to the bone. I'm telling you, he preached the gospel. Guess what? But Jesus didn't say to stay dead, did he? Amen. And he said, "God raised him from the dead." And he told them there, "You need to repent and all of you be saved." You know the text there. And 3,000 of them had, what happened? There was a Calvary explosion of preaching. There was a Calvary explosion of being pricked in the heart. The power of the dynamite exploded in the heart. And they said, "Men and brethren, what do we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." So there was explosive people. In other words, Calvary had an influence on the church at Pentecost. And what I'm trying to say to you, any man that fasts and prays, there ought to be a Calvary. You need to have a Calvary explosion in your soul. I'm going to say the cross will get real to you when you fast and pray. Amen? Oh my. Well, let me go on. All right, here's what I'm trying to say is he takes your fast if he gets it. And he lights a match to it. Now, I got to get you to North Carolina. Let's get out of Florida. I'm finally out of the tree, and it's time for revival. So I get in Andrews, North Carolina, and I'm ready to preach revival. Okay? So I get there, and I'm preaching revival, and guess what happened? I preached Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I preached Sunday night. You know what happened? Nothing. I preached Monday night. You know what happened? Nothing. I preached Tuesday night. You know what happened? Nothing. Man, I was getting a little desperate here. How many preachers we got in here? You know how we do. We try to help God out.
That's right.
Y'all come on up here and just give up bubble gum or chew tobacco or dip and snuff or something. I'm just trying to get them to the altar. Anybody with me out here? What was the problem? It wasn't mine. It was his. And God's going to do whatever God wants to do, because David didn't have it anymore. He came and got it on a tree down there. Are you with me? And if he lights a match to it, it'll be for the glory of what he wants to do. Not me. Wednesday. Go to the next point real quickly. I've got to go, because it adds to the power. This is very important. The word is providence. I wrote the unseen hand. Go ahead and write it while you're writing there. God's guidance, number one. God's guidance. God's governing. God's glory. How many of you believe that God's in charge of everything?
Amen.
Walter Elwell said it this way: the sovereign, divine, superintendent of all things. Sovereign, superintendent. I like the way he said that. There's a sovereign, I like to say it this way, when you can't track him, praise God, you can trust him.
Amen.
Ask Esther about that. Amen. Not mentioned one time the Lord in the book of Esther. Somebody was in charge. Guess what? The Jews were saved.
Amen.
Amen. And so what do we see? So I'm just, here's what happened. Now here, talking about providence. I mean, we were, it's almost 9:27. I got to hurry. God was working already. Before I even got in town, the Friday before I even got into Andrews, North Carolina, little high school, we were having a youth revival. We were trying to get kids to come. And the Friday before I got town, a boyfriend and a girlfriend was going through the mountain. Both of them got killed for drinking. Went to an oak tree and got killed. The boy played football. On Wednesday, the preacher said, we're going to go see and talk to the football team on Wednesday. He knew the coach. We got out there. They're 0 for 2 years. They ain't won a ball game in 2 years. 0 for 2 years. Whatever. And they couldn't win nothing. I looked at them. I said, I wonder why. They're pitiful looking. I mean, it's terrible. And so I'm out there at about 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. They practicing ball. And found out the coach was a Christian, and he turned over to me and introduced me, and he said, basically a general question, he said, what's the most important thing that's ever happened to you? Well, what that means in the subliminal, in the Greek, it means preach, amen. And so I'm out there at football practice, and so I gave him a testimony and invited him to church and promoted it, gave the gospel, and said, we'd love for you to come, and that was Wednesday. Thursday was the big pizza party. You know how we do it, and feed them all, bride them all, like the whole high school down there and all of them. We had a big crowd. Talking about the providence of God. I preached on Thursday night. I'm going to go ahead and tell you number five. The word is prosper. 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 Oh, my Lord. How many of you got your Bible? Look at verse number 11. Look at verse 58. Isaiah 58, 11. And the Lord, I'm in 58, 11, Isaiah. And the Lord shall guide thee, how?
Continually.
There's another verse up there. It says, you can call me. I thought we was fasting, and now we're praying. Verse number 9 says, you can call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Amen? And so we see here in verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Let's get our notes, and I'll finish up. Number one, he furnishes. He furnishes. He shall guide thee continually. That's what he's saying about fasting and praying. He'll furnish you. He'll guide you. How about number 2, verse 11? Look at the next phrase. He satisfied thy soul in drought. That means he'll fill you. Number 2, he furnishes you. He'll fill you. And here's one for Brother David that preached the other day. Look at here. And he'll make fat your bones. That means he'll fatten. He fattens. He furnishes, he fills, he fattens. Look at it. One verse right here. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do what?
Fail not.
He fails not. What that means is he'll turn the water spigot on in your soul. Amen.
Yes.
How many of you like a watered garden? Amen.
Yes.
Maters and taters and squash and cucumbers. It looks real good when they're plush and flush and green. Amen.
Yes.
When you put water on them. Amen.
Yes.
But oh my Lord, When he does that in your soul after a purpose. Are y'all with me out here? And you see your purpose, and what do? You pursue him. And with the pursuit, you realize you're helpless, and you come into his presence. And in the presence of God, you believe God, and you give it to him. Amen? And then he lights a match to it, strikes a match, because he's got it, and you don't have it. Amen? And then the Lord says, if you'll do all that, you'll prosper. I preached Thursday night. Same thing, same old preaching, I thought. Gave the invitation. Here come one blonde-haired boy walking down the aisle. Providence of God, he knew the football player that died on Friday night. Whole bunch of them there. And that one blonde haired boy stepped out. Walked down the aisle and got saved. Along with the 38 other teenagers. 38 other teenagers. That walked down the aisle. I looked back at the preacher and he... For 30 minutes, preacher. He took six or eight of them. I took six or eight of them. My wife took six or eight of them. Preacher's wife took six or eight of them. Sunday school teachers took a bunch. Deacons took a bunch. Weeping uncontrollably. Yeah. Repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us today. I see God's glory. Verse number 8. I see God's guidance in verse number 11. I see a garden also in verse 11. Yes. Hey, fellas. Can I arouse you, stir you, shake you a little bit? If you'll follow the procedures for fasting, God will reward you. You do it with a right heart. Amen? I'm talking to somebody here this morning. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. Maybe there's some yokes. There's some burdens. There might be some other things, whatever. And you say, preacher, it might be us preachers as a church, our church as a whole. You got a burden. Some of you got lost loved ones and lost members. Maybe it's your own family, your own children, brother or sister, somebody in your family. That thing's burdened you. Is there something today that maybe the Spirit of God might be initiating, setting on fire, to impress on that burden in your heart, to do like Brother Brian did last night, pray for children, like Brother Stoney praying for his church, and God breaking the pastor? What is it that would stir up a purpose? And I say this, and this is what God will give me a little bit more in this study. How heavy is your fast? Maybe we can use a physical, application to make a spiritual application. Are you with me? The more I'm empty might be the heavier the burden, and the more I seek his face with fasting and praying. What if you had a son jumping in the fire? You know what? The first words that came out of Jonah after he preached that 8-word message, yet 40 days, and God shall, and Nineveh shall be overthrown, or whatever. The next verse says, and the people believe God. Jehoshaphat, after he prayed and all that in 2 Chronicles 20 there, you go over to verse number 20, I'm telling you, they set their fight. They had their children, the family, and all of them out there fasting. They set it up, and Jehoshaphat prayed that great prayer, and in verse number 20, they went the next day, and they're about to see the enemy there over the next in the wilderness, the Bible says there. And the last thing that Jehoshaphat said, he said, believe in the Lord your God. thou shalt be established. Believe in the prophets, and thou shalt prosper. Amen. Praise God. Fasting works, fellas. Amen.